You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to your Canadiens Connection on Rocket Sports Radio. This premier hockey podcast featured at CanadiansConnection.fm brings you the latest news, in-depth analysis, and expert commentary about the NHL's most storied franchise, the Montreal Canadiens. Hosted by Rick Stevens and Amy Johnson. Our team of credentialed journalists provides behind-the-scenes insight on the Canadiens, designed to inform, entertain, and engage Habs fans around the globe. We are proud to be the trusted source for all things Habs for more than a decade. This is the Canadiens Connection Podcast.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Canadiens Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio. Each and every week, we are coming at you all throughout the year with information, engagement, entertainment, all about the Montreal Canadiens. And hey, it's draft week. The draft was this weekend, and that is what we are here to talk about today. But first, some introductions. My name is Amy Johnson. I'm your host for today's show for episode 406 of the Canadiens Connection podcast, titled What the Montreal Canadiens Did and Didn't Do at the NHL Draft. Of course, be tackling that topic with my wonderful co-host. He is our founder and president here at Rocket Sports. His name is Rick Stevens. It's done and dusted, Rick. 2026 NHL entry draft in the books.
And we know what they did. And fans know what they didn't do. Last week we talked on episode 405 of the Canadiens Connection podcast. We talked about how the focus wasn't necessarily on the draft. It was all about first, the clearly defined needs that the Canadiens were evident in the playoffs, particularly the Eastern Conference Final, and that Kent Hughes would be making a big ground-shaking move sometime during draft week. And there were plenty of blockbusters.
Yeah, apparently all the other GMs got that memo.
Yeah, yes, Kent tried. Didn't happen. And so what we have to talk about, we'll talk a little bit about that because Kent did. But we're going to talk about what did happen at the draft and how the Canadiens fared and whether they did fulfill some of their expectations and goals.
So just so you know how this is going to all shake out on today's show, in case you're a newer listener to the program, in our first segment, we're going to do our week in review. We're going to review the things that have happened that affect the Montreal Canadiens or involve the Montreal Canadiens over this past week. And some of that is just going to be some general thoughts about the draft in general. We will bring you some roster news for the Montreal Canadiens as well, because there is news involving a couple of roster players that we want to discuss with you. We will give you the Habs prospect report. There is always news happening with the prospects within the Montreal Canadiens organization. We've got some updates for you there as well. And we'll wrap up the first segment with some general news and notes from around the NHL in general. Then in the second segment on the show, that is where we will tackle our big topic for the week. And this week, the big topic is asking the question, did the Canadiens accomplish their goals and meet fan expectations at this year's NHL draft? We're going to review what happened at the draft, review the draft picks that the Canadiens did make, introduce you to those players, and also talk about kind of what didn't happen, what happened around the Canadiens, and all of the implications of those types of things, and kind of just take a step back now that the draft is complete and see where things stand going forward, because things are going to continue to happen in very quick succession this week before free agency and including free agency. Then, of course, in our third segment, that's where we turn the proverbial microphone over to you. We always ask you a question of the week that we want our listeners and viewers to submit your responses to. We will do that this week. We have a draft-related question for you this week. And then, as we do every week, we review all of the answers that you send in. We pull out the best ones, and we share them with all of you on the following week's show. We've got some great responses for last week's question of the week to bring you later in the show. So, lots to talk about. We're glad that you're here. Let's get right into it. Obviously, the big deal since we've been gone, since our last episode, was the fact that, yes, the draft took place on Friday night and all day Saturday. The 2026 draft held at the KeyBank Center in Buffalo, New York, home of the Buffalo Sabres. They actually held the draft there 10 years ago. We were at that one. Mm-hmm. That was when Austin Matthews was drafted first overall. Great location. You know, the combine is there in June. It's been a place where the prospects game has been held before. Whether it's USA Hockey's prospect game or it's the kind of prospect showcase at the during rookie camp, that type of thing. It's a great facility, great place for these hockey events.
That was the 2016 draft. Yeah. Was it was bittersweet when you think back.
Yeah.
The Canadians picked ninth, selecting Mikhail Sergachev, and then we know what happened.
Yeah,
we know what happened after that. Some tough memories. It was Mark Bergevin who basically assaulted Jarmo Kekalainen on the
draft floor,
so to speak.
Yeah,
looking to make a trade for Pierre-Luc Dubois, and did not happen.
No. Of course, there were no interactions amongst GMs on the draft floor once again this year. This is the second year in a row that the NHL opted for the decentralized format. This is the one compliment I'll give the NHL. Round one wasn't as bad as last year, because last year was a disaster, but it was a very close second.
Still awkward moments.
It's awkward. It drags
cringy.
On.
Cringy. There was people didn't know where to go, what to do.
Gary Bettman missed interviews. Everything was awkward, and there just is not the excitement and suspense and tension. That buzz is not there in the building. Even watching on TV, you can tell that intensity is not in the building because the GMs and the scouts are not in the building. It's just a format that is, sorry, this is 2 years in a row. I say double thumbs down. We got to get rid of this format.
Well, the lack of intensity was kind of emphasized by the fact that they had a library or a den for their sofa for interviews?
At least it wasn't the awkward interviews with the GMs in the, but yeah, it just does, it didn't work.
But they brought in celebrities to spice it up.
Justin Bieber was awkward. Justin Bieber is the level and type of celebrity that you can't corral him into, okay, here's what you're going to say and here's what you're going to do and here's the script. He's not going to do that. No. And so that made it really kind of clunky. Good for them. And yes, Justin Bieber is a huge Toronto Maple Leafs fan. Everybody knows that. So he was an appropriate representative to, okay, let's make a big splashy first overall selection. But it was clunky because, you know, he's going to do it the way he wants to do it.
I like Thurman Thomas for Buffalo's pick.
That was great.
Yeah. Yeah, he was. He said the NFL draft, but that's fine.
That's fine.
No, he was
the NFL draft.
He was very enthusiastic. I thought that was good.
The young boy.
Oh, yeah. The sledge hockey player.
Yes. I can't remember which team he announced for, but he was fantastic. Mm-hmm. The 13-year-old young man, he did a great job, and he looked terrific. The bow tie. Oh, the Canucks. It was because he had a Canucks suit jacket on. And the bow tie and was very poised and announced
The delivery was great.
Really good. Yeah. Loved seeing that. That was pretty special.
And the Canadians actually made their pick, which was interesting in and of itself.
And we're going to get into how all that happened, of course, once we get to our big topic in the second segment. The winner, according to The Athletic, of round one, and I think we can all be in agreement about this, hands down, the San Jose Sharks. Holy crap.
They just keep adding.
What a haul they got. Yeah. And things just fell into place for them again, like it did last year.
And the Sharks aren't a bad team. They narrowly missed the playoffs. They had big jump in at the lottery. They had the number two pick, got Stenberg. I like Keaton Verhoeff. They got him at number nine. And then added Ryan Lynn at 21. And then, as if to put a stamp on it, on the final, I know I'm jumping ahead, but the final day, added the tallest player ever to be drafted at 7'1" in Alexander Karmanov.
Not surprising that his skating needs improvement.
Yeah, that's true. But San Jose had a pretty good first night, a very good first night, and a pretty good weekend.
Yeah, they really did. The Athletic, what did they grade the Canadians for round one? A quote unquote overtime loser.
Yeah. What do they know? no, they don't, they don't think, there's much projection, for the Canadians first round pick.
No.
But anyway, it was, there's seven Swedes drafted in the first round.
Yeah.
Overall in the draft, 32 goaltenders, including seven goaltenders in the third round.
It says Sam Cosentino and Jason Bukala on the NHL Network broadcast today said, did you imagine that we'd come for seven rounds of a draft and we'd say, okay, for six rounds, we're going to draft players. And in one entire round, we're going to draft nothing but goaltenders.
And the Canadians would sit out.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but the nicest, the best story.
Absolutely.
And I'm not a fan of the Penguins. I'm not a fan of Kyle Dubas, but he did the right thing. What a great story with the Twins, Liam and Marcus Ruck, from Medicine Hat, of course. Bryce Pickford knows them both very well, but keeping them together and drafting them both, and not having to trade up to make that happen, just kind of fell into his lap. Nicely done.
Yeah, as a Flyers fan, it pains me to say anything positive about the Pittsburgh Penguins, but Kyle Dubas did the right thing. I think it's great. I think it's great for Pittsburgh. I think it's great for the Penguins. And it'll be very fun. It'll be very fun to watch them come up through the ranks. But yeah, round seven. Okay, I remember back in the days when the draft was held in person and back in the days when we used to organize a group of about 50 people who were contest winners to go along with us to the draft of fans across the league and whatnot, there were many times that we would be arriving at the restaurant that we were all going to have, you know, all 50 of us were going to have our post-draft meal together, that we would be arriving there around 3 o'clock.
2:30, we were out of the draft.
Yeah. Today, the draft did not end today until 4:25 p.m.
Yeah, they have to.
That was 5.5 hours for rounds 2 through 7. And was it 4 hours for round one?
And when the camera is going around picturing people have fallen asleep.
It's not a good look, Gary.
Not a good look for the NHL.
Not at all. So, as we said, you know, it's always still fun to watch the draft. Loved seeing the guys and their families who had stuck around until the seventh round and were rewarded with still getting to hear their name called and they were still in the building. It's always special to see that. We're going to get into all the nooks and crannies of what the Canadians did later on in the show. But from the 30,000 foot view, Canadians made 8 selections. None of them were goalies. None of them were under 6 feet tall. And none of them were from the Q.
Somebody's going to be upset about that.
Somebody's going to be upset about that.
And again, take it for what it's worth. But Mark Edwards, we know Mark. Yeah. No, Jerome, the whole team from Hockey Prospects. He said there was a lot of chatter. Again, lots of people talking about how this format just isn't working and that the NHL has given up one of its premier events of the season. I always thought it was was their best event. Mark Edwards says that there's been a lot of chatter about the draft possibly going to Montreal next year and possibly including some scouts back on the floor. We'll see what the evaluation is from the NHL perspective. Oddly, in the review they did last year, most of the teams liked it the way it was, including the Canadiens. So we'll see.
That may have changed because one of the Montreal mainstream reporters mentioned after Kent Hughes' presser on Friday night that Kent Hughes would prefer to go back to being on the draft floor. So, you know, we'll see.
Well, it's so much easier to get things done.
Instead and of the sitting around waiting for a phone call. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Even just conversations in passing as you're walking by each other on the way to the washroom or the snack table, or you're going to talk to somebody else and you bump into somebody. You never know what can spark out of those innocent, casual conversations. That does not happen unless you're in the same room, in the same building, on the same draft floor together. And I don't like that the draftees don't get to meet their team right away.
Yeah, that's true. And all of the discussions, all the interactions, all the gesticulations happen right in front of you if you attend the draft live. And it's exciting.
It is.
And maybe you'll even get to see Marc Bergevin on the banana phone, as we did.
As we did.
True.
If you've ever seen that picture floating around on the internet, I took that photograph is real. It is not photographed. I know that because photoshopped. I took that photograph. I grabbed the camera and we were in Chicago. We were sitting in the first row on the draft floor. And all of a sudden we looked and Marc Bergevin, being goofy, had picked up a banana like he was talking on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You don't get that when... I don't, not to say Kent Hughes is talking on banana phones, but bring back the old format. In terms of roster news for the Canadians this week, forward Brendan Gallagher got a little honor this week. He was given the title of Citizen of Honor from the city of Montreal this week in a ceremony that was presided over by Mayor Soraya Martinez-Ferrada on Thursday afternoon at City Hall.
Yeah, kind of nice. It's nice. It's really nice. And Gallagher deserves to be recognized, the longest tenured Canadian still on the Habs roster. At, you know, 900 games and 13th overall in that category. All of this is nice, except it's weird because He's asked for a trade, and it hasn't happened yet, and it's just a little odd. Yeah. Anyway, Gallagher thought it was a wonderful event, and said that Montreal is an incredibly special place to me. I've been part of the city since I was drafted at 17 years old. I'm now 34, and over these years, Montreal has given me the opportunity to live out my childhood dream. So really nice and a wonderful honor, and he certainly deserves it.
Yes, he does. Speaking of wonderful honors.
And deserved.
Albeit a year too late.
Mm-hmm.
Canadiens goaltender Carey Price was announced as a member of the 2026 inductee class of the Hockey Hall of Fame. Shame on you all for not making him a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Should have been last year. It is this year. We knew he was going to get to the Hall of Fame. This is justice. 15 years as a starting goaltender for the Montreal Canadiens. That's tough to do. You know, setting records for wins and other with a history of goaltenders that the Montreal Canadiens has, to be at the top of any of the categories. It's a very special player, a very unique player, and a player who deserves to be in the Hockey Hall of Fame. Carey was one of the best goalies of his generation, and he was not only the best goalie, but the best player in the NHL for a number of years. You don't really have to make the case for why he deserves to be in the Hockey Hall of Fame. He got gold at the World Juniors, gold at the World Cup, gold at the Olympics. He won the Vezina, the Jennings, the Masterton, the Lindsay, and the Hart Memorial Trophy for most valuable player. All those should also apply why it's a no-brainer that his number 31 should be retired and in the rafters of the Bell Center. And Carey, humble as always, said, I'm paraphrasing here. It's not all of what I am, but being a goaltender for the Montreal Canadiens was a huge part of who I am.
Wonderful. I actually, the only good thing I think about him not getting first ballot last year and being inducted this year is he's got a I really like the class that he's going
great
with.
Draft class.
Terrific draft class. I think that's going to be an act. I don't always watch the induction ceremony, depending on who's being inducted, but obviously we'll want to see what Carey has to say, but I think it's going to be a really special night because it's such a great draft class. So,
and it was a week of honors with Gallagher, and Carey Price, and also Yvon Cornwallier, who is brought into the Order of Canada, 82 years old, and that was nice as well.
Definitely. All right, let's switch gears from guys getting inducted into the Hall of Fame to guys early in their career. Let's dip into the Habs Prospect Report.
It's time for the Rocket Report. The Rocket Sports Media Team is your premier source for information about the Laval Rocket, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens, as well as Habs prospects playing in the CHL, NCAA, and leagues around the world.
I have some notes on one of the Habs' Russian prospects. The KHL rights of defenseman Dmitry Kostenko were traded from Spartak Moscow to Amur Khabarovsk. Dmitry Kostenko then signed a one-year contract with Amur Khabarovsk of the KHL. So that is where he will be playing next year.
Who's Kostenko? If you've forgotten, he's a right shot defenseman, 23 years old. He was drafted in the third round, 2021 by the Canadiens, 6'2", 200 pounds. Last year, he played in Slovakia for HK Nitra. 18 points in 29 games and 2 points in 3 playoff games.
Also, in case you missed it, Kent Hughes did pull off 2 player trades this
week. He sure did.
He did. They were just AHL-level trades. They acquired RFA forward Hunter McCown from the Columbus Blue Jackets in exchange for Luke Tuck. And they acquired RFA forward Brett Berard from the New York Rangers in exchange for William Trudeau.
So maybe William Trudeau is not a surprise here. He was considered a top prospect for the Canadiens for a while, but everybody's passed him on the list, and he's kind of settled out to be a good AHL defenseman. RFA is going to require waivers next season and is probably looking for an organization with, just a different outlook and a new chance, and traded for a smallish forward, that being Berard, 5'9", 175. The other one is a little bit curious because Luke Tuck, brother of Alex, of course, that was that fourth line in Laval with Luke Tuck and Jack, the Florian Jacki, and the other name escapes me, but three energy, and we talked about it, three energy guys who were maybe looking to
shutdown role?
Well, and graduate together to be physical, to be big, to be an energy presence. Maybe not all, certainly not all this year, but over the coming years. And so trading Luke Tuck, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. And not quite sure what's going on there.
Not sure either. All right. So in terms of NHL news, the one award that had not yet been announced was the Jim Gregory General Manager of the Year Award. That was done on Friday night. Gary Bettman announcing during round one of the draft that it was Bill Guerin of the Minnesota Wild taking top honors for GM of the Year. Would have liked to have known what Bill Guerin had to say about it, but... Gary Bettman fumbled. Forgot that Bill Guerin was standing there on screen waiting to talk and just moved on.
Tyler Thorpe is the other guy, by the way.
Yes,
Tyler Thorpe. Yeah, and Bill Guerin, what a great year he had.
Yeah.
Gold for U.S. and completing the Quinn Hughes trade. And so it was kind of a horse race between Bill Guerin and Chris McFarlane, then from Colorado since Nashville. McFarlane was a close second, and there was no one else close. Kent Hughes got a few votes, but a very distant fifth in the voting.
Now, when we said earlier in the show that apparently all of the other GMs got the memo that some blockbuster trades needed to happen this week, this was some of the commentators during the draft coverage were talking about how this was almost an historic week for the NHL in terms of not just the amount, but the magnitude and the impact of the trades that were made this week. I'm gonna run through the names, like in case you forgot them all, because sometimes you might not have remembered that. Yeah, okay, it started with Brady Tkachuk, and then things just fell like it was like a domino effect from there. Brady Tkachuk, Mackie Samuskevich, Darren Radish, Bowen Byram, William Eklund, Simone Nemec, Mason McTavish, J.J. Paterka, Valerian Nichushkin, Alex Tuck, Pavel Dorofeyev, Olin Zellweger, and Jordan Kyrou.
And the number...
That is a major shift in the NHL.
It's incredible. And the number of first-round picks involved, but the number of first-round picks were incredible. And, I mean, why are we talking about this, and what does it mean to the Montreal Canadiens? Well, the Canadiens... Well, they've stood pat so far. Other teams have not. Florida has improved. Toronto's improved. I don't know if it's going to get them a playoff spot. Ottawa, Buffalo. This is going to be very interesting.
Boston, Columbus, Washington, Rangers. I mean,
this is going to be very, very interesting to see what the Canadians can do over the summer. And that's why, we go back a year ago and going into the summer, Kent Hughes had said something big may happen this summer, but we really think it's going to happen in the summer of 2026. You fast forward to the last March's trade deadline and Kent Hughes said, no, but we'll come back to it. In the summer of 2026. And you look at all of these teams who have made big, impactful trades, and you think of Marc Bergevin and his words, trades are hard. We tried, but trades are hard. And I can understand if you're a Montreal Canadiens fan, you were expecting something this draft weekend, and you're feeling a little bit let down at this moment.
So, what are some other things that are in play? Well, NHL free agency opens July 1st. That is on Wednesday.
You've heard that this is the weakest free agent class, unrestricted free agent class in a very long time. Kent Hughes kind of referenced it and said that was the reason for all the trades is because there's not many good free agents to be had.
No.
Now, there is one that has been tied to Montreal a fair bit, and that's Mason Marchment. He had that trade deadline trade to Columbus. He's an unrestricted free agent, and there's been lots of smoke about the Canadiens' interest in Mason Marchment.
And during the draft, Carolina, late in the draft, secured the other UFA that's kind of intriguing is John Carlson from Anaheim. Well, while there was not a sign and trade and there was no pending agreement after the trade, Carolina has secured the negotiating rights for John Carlson. So they at least get first crack at him for a few days to see if they can sign him before he goes to the free agent market.
Stanley Cup winners who are looking to get better.
Yep. So that means that the trade market is still going to be hot this week. And
yeah, all that list that you mentioned.
And there's more.
And there's more.
And they're not small names. Dylan Larkin, Jason Robertson, Connor Hellebuck, Zach Werenski, which I don't know that that's going to, I don't know that they're actually going to trade him or not, but it's out there. Hellebuck almost got sent to the Sabres.
That's right. Zach Werenski has let it be known to Columbus, Don Waddell, that probably isn't going to re-sign there. At least the agent did. And so he could be on the trade market, which sounds incredible, but there's a lot of talent there. These are going to be big trades. They're going to be... it's going to take a lot of assets to be able to land these people, but expect over the next week or so with the lack of unrestricted free agents that we're going to see some movement. And don't forget, in just a few days, the qualifying offers are due for restricted free agents. So lots going to happen this week.
Oh boy. We all wait with bated breath. All right, we are going to take our first break here on the Canadiens Connection. We've got a new message for you from our friends over at DraftKings, our sponsors for today's show. And when we come back, we are diving into our big topic. Did the Canadiens accomplish their goals and meet fan expectations at the NHL draft? We're going to review what actually did happen and what didn't happen. As well as introduce you to all of the Canadiens' new draft picks right after this. So stay with us. You're listening to the Canadiens Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio. The Stanley Cup may have been awarded to the Carolina Hurricanes, but that doesn't mean that the opportunity to bet on hockey and all of your favorite sports has ended. In fact, the DraftKings Sportsbook app is now available in all 50 states and includes all markets. So sweat every shift, every inning, every quarter, every minute of your favorite sport, all in one place with one app. Now, new DraftKings customers, sign up with code THPN, spend $5 to get 200 in rewards within 21 days. That's code THPN in partnership with DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Bet with DK Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 1-800-MY-RESET. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Connecticut, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas, bet text pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21 and over. Void in Ontario. Event contract trading with DraftKings predictions involves risk of loss. Sportsbook bonus bets expire in 7 days. $50 in predictions dollars issued weekly for 3 weeks expire in 1 year. Redeem one non-withdrawable reward. Availability varies. Predictions offer void in New York. Ends June 28th. Terms at dkng.co/audio.
And welcome back to the Canadiens Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio. Once again, my name is Amy Johnson. With me, of course, here in the studio is Rick Stevens, our president and founder here. And be sure you're following him over on X. You know, You want all the latest news about the Montreal Canadiens all year long. You want to know where to find all of our content, whether it's video, audio, written, you name it. Well, you'll want to follow Rick over on X. The handle there is at Rocket Sports. That is the main hub. It is the main social media account for our group. You can also follow this podcast, particularly on X, on Facebook, and Instagram. The handle is the same on all three platforms. It is at Habs Connection. Again, at Habs Connection. And hey, if you haven't done so already, if you want Canadians news and talk and analysis and opinions, not just all hockey season long, but all summer long as well. That's right. We don't ever take a week off. Then be sure that you have tapped the subscribe button, whether you're listening to a podcast player or if you're over on YouTube, just hit subscribe. We don't ever want you to miss an episode. Now, okay, for me, I'm going to say this year's NHL draft, in terms of the Montreal Canadiens, kind of felt like one of those weekends where the expectations and the reality didn't mesh. They didn't line up. You know, leading up to it, as we talked about in depth last week on the show, there was a lot of speculation that the Canadiens might be one of the big players. They were going to be big and splashy. A lot of fans wondered if Kent Hughes would maybe package out the first round pick. Heck, even a lot of the Montreal media were insinuating that that's what they expected to see happen. Would Kent Hughes make a big blockbuster trade? Would he do something to take another major step toward turning his team into a legitimate Stanley Cup contender? And instead, what happened was Montreal had a very quiet weekend, much quieter than a lot of people expected. Sure, they added some very intriguing prospects that we're going to talk about here in a few minutes. We mentioned that the couple of depth trades that he made at the AHL level. He did a good job at shuffling around some sixth and seventh round draft picks late in the draft, but largely stayed out of the frenzy while other teams around the league, and more importantly in the Eastern Conference, were the ones grabbing the headlines. So, Rick, the question that we're now left to ponder is, was that the right approach? Did the Canadiens accomplish exactly what they set out to do, or was this another missed opportunity to make the kind of move that could have accelerated the team's progress? And as we just kind of laid out with a tumultuous set of big trades kind of hanging over everyone's head in the upcoming days, and a lackluster free agency around the corner, is the biggest piece of Hughes' plan for the offseason still waiting to happen? And at this point, can it even happen?
Well, and it's easy now in retrospect, and I know we're going to hear from some fans that
you're
are going
so
to say,
negative.
No, oh, okay. Not at all.
All right.
To say it was never going to happen, and fans always have those kinds of expectations, and they were unrealistic. But it wasn't the fans who were generating these expectations. It was the Montreal Canadiens who were generating expectations. Mm-hmm. And not only recently, but over the course of the last year. But even at the end of season media presser, they were creating these expectations. So the media was kind of following along, so that it was almost a certainty that the Canadiens would be using their first round pick. And we saw so many first round picks traded that, yeah, why wouldn't the Canadiens trade their first round pick? There was very little interest in the mocks that were happening. There was very little interest in the prospects that would likely be available at the end of the first round, because the Canadiens fans, Habs fans, were convinced that there was a move to be made, and almost preparing themselves I don't want to give up Michael Hage. I don't want to give up Alexander Jurovsky. Yeah. I don't want to give up David Reinbacher. But if we have to, that was kind of the attitude. And it didn't happen. It didn't happen. And you can say that, you know, Canadiens fans had unrealistic expectations, but I think the Montreal Canadiens had expectations that weren't fully realized. And we'll get to that in a minute. Given the way the posture and the words used by Kent Hughes after the first round, there was kind of a bit of a glimmer. Yeah, and that trade button was going off.
Yeah.
Gary was coming up and pointing to section 302, and which was silly. Just announce that there's a trade. But there was a there was that button that went off towards the end, and it was announced as a Vegas trade to the Montreal Canadiens. And you know, maybe there was some kind of speculation briefly that the Montreal Canadiens were going to, something was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just Montreal moving up two picks from 28 to 26. And to get there, they had to toss in a 2027 third round pick, which is a little steep. But the Canadiens have a bevy of picks for a reason. And they used that to get the guy that they wanted with the 26th overall pick.
And that guy was Gleb Pugachev, 6'3" right winger. Played in the MHL this past season, 33 games with Chaika Nizhny Novgorod in the MHL. That's the top junior league in Russia. And in those 33 games, he had 24 points, 10 goals, and 14 assists.
But it's not points that were being tallied. And we should say that Marty Lapointe, Nick Bobrov, they seem thrilled with this pick. But it's not points that they're after here. Looking at some of the scouting notes, and this is the way Gleb was described, certified human wrecking ball.
All right.
There are very few players on the planet who can hit as hard as Gleb. And he only turned 18 years old in March. Good frame, physical style, got good skating ability. And this scouting note, he regularly and violently fights for inside positioning every chance he gets. There's a significant intimidation factor to his game. So the Canadiens were after one thing and one thing alone here, I think. And that's physicality or physicality is an understatement, obviously. I think a little much is he a Tom Wilson? No, I don't think so. It looks like he's going to project, to a bottom six NHL role. So think of where Josh Anderson is now. He can skate, mm-hmm. he can shoot, and he's going to punish you with his hits. That's kind of where we're after. He's a guy that's represented by Gold Star Dan Milstein from Kazakhstan, and wasn't at the draft. Actually, the Canadiens' first two picks were not at the draft that Gleb was at an event that we talked about, the Gold Star event for Russian prospects,
mm-hmm.
and that was happening last weekend. Well, Gleb just stayed there and watched the draft from there and celebrated with fellow prospects.
Okay, then. You mentioned, do you want to hear a quote from Marty Lapointe?
Sure.
I'm going to read this. This is actually courtesy of our colleague and fellow Rocket Sports team member, Chris G, who is already doing some transcription from Marty Lapointe and Nick Bobrov met with the media after the draft finished on Saturday. So talking about Gleb, Marty Lapointe says, quote, and I'm just going to ask right now, could the Canadiens please stop using this term? because the more you use it, the less I believe it, because you can't have 8 unicorns. You're not finding 8 unicorns, guys.
Slavkovsky and Florian Jackai.
So Marty Lapointe says, quote, "This guy's a unicorn. We love the way he plays shift in, shift out. The details in his game at his age are rare. To be playing in the KHL and blocking shots, diving to block shots, backchecking hard, finishing his checks on the forecheck, and bringing pucks to the net, that's what you wish for in a player. We feel that this guy was the guy that we needed. He was there, and I feel lucky to have him."
All sounds great.
All sounds great. Kent Hughes, I'm just looking here. Some of the things that he had to say. Said, he's got size. He plays a physical game, but he also has good hockey sense. Our scouts think he has a lot of potential and versatility. He can play up and down the lineup. We think his game is mature, his physique as well, and he already has his identity. We think he was the best player available. And Nick Bobrov talked about his personality as well, that they were very, when they scouted him at the Milstein event in Florida, that they were impressed with the way he interacted with his fellow prospects and teammates. So
are you happy?
That's what you get for the first round.
And listen, this is the kind of guy, physical, big, winger that the Canadians have been looking for. Now, he's not going to be available right away.
No.
You're going to have to wait a bit, more than a bit. He'll spend at least 2 years in the KHL before coming over. Now, he thinks he's going to be an immediate NHLer and have immediate impact. And we love the confidence.
Sure.
We absolutely love the confidence.
Sure.
But it's going to take some time for him to be someone that Canadians fans will be able to get really excited about.
So moving then into the second round,
we get to that, I just want to say a couple of things about Kent Hughes. Met the media after the first round last night, as he usually does,
right?
And you said you mentioned some of his comments. First of all, the quality of the audio was the only thing. It's sad when you have a prospect like this, a physical guy, and Canadians fans, all they're talking about was the quality of the audio. And it's something that the Canadians can do something about. Improve their audio, and don't have your social media person typing like a fiend
right next to the microphone.
It's simple things. It's simple, and the Canadians should be better than that. On their live stream, do you think the typing can get any louder? I can't hear. The typing is louder than you. It goes on and on and on, and that's all that they talked about. Kent Hughes talked about Gleb, but also he was asked about, you know, why no trade? And especially because Frank Cervelli had reported, and Frank Cervelli's words, not mine, that the Canadians had offered a massive package for Kirill Marchenko to Columbus, and that was turned down. Maybe we should be happy that one didn't happen.
Yeah.
And Kent Hughes was asked if he's frustrated that he wasn't able to make a move, because he had set expectations, fans were there with him, probably would have accepted, some good prospects going out. And Kent basically admitted, yes, I'm frustrated. I thought that we'd be able to get something done. I thought that I put together a really good package, and that they're looking for in these trade proposals, and probably a little bit when it comes to the prospects themselves, they're looking for the right fit. He said, just because you you hear names that are available doesn't mean those are the only players we're going after. Mm-hmm. We're looking at other people's other teams' rosters. We're looking for fit to our team, and then we're reaching out to those teams and saying, "Can we send you a trade proposal?" So Canadians have progressed beyond the stage where they're looking to just add talent. They're looking for individuals that have specific characteristics to meet, to fill the holes that and needs that the Canadians have. And the other part of it is Kent said he's getting calls about Canadians prospects. Now, you can understand where he's not necessarily going to want to do one of those trades because he's going to want to use them as assets to make his own trade. And then he was asked, is it still possible that we'll see a trade, maybe in the summer? He said, maybe in July, maybe in August, maybe in September, possibly November. And as you pointed out, he came back to that
word.
Two more times, November. He mentioned it three times in his presser.
Yep.
Look to November. So he's pushing expectations way back about a significant summer trade.
And so that if it doesn't happen until October, November, he can say,
yeah,
I said back in June that we might, it, you know, this might not happen until November.
And he's also dampening, you know, expectations about free agency. Said it's not the free agent market isn't deep.
No.
So teams are taking advantage of going the trade route instead. So it was very interesting. You know, are Canadians fans frustrated? Are they underwhelmed by what happened in the draft? Possibly. But if that's the case, I think so is Kent Hughes.
Yeah. And I think you can see both sides of it, you know, maybe a little underwhelmed, maybe a little frustrated, maybe a little disappointed. At the same time, and yes, we want to know that the Kent Hughes is actively trying. He's trying to make things happen, the right things. That's the other side of the coin, is that you don't want to see him make a big splashy trade that he either overpays for or is for someone who really isn't the right fit for the Canadians and their upcoming couple of seasons. So we play the waiting game now. Kent wasn't playing the waiting game. You know, he moved up two positions to get Gleb Pugachev in the first round. Well, he moved up four positions in the second round. Was supposed to select 61st overall, traded with Carolina to move up to 57th overall to take. He went on a run of defensemen. The next three selections were all blue liners. Moved up to pick number 57 overall for Timofey Runso, a defenseman who last year played for Victoria in the WHL.
This guy's got a fascinating resume. First, I should tell you, about 195 pounds, 6'3". We said that the Canadians didn't take anyone who was under 6 feet. This guy, well, first of all, born in California, Marina Del Rey, not typical, has Belarusian citizenship and also U.S., and then moved from Victoria to play in the WHL. Last year, 68 games. He had 11 goals, 33 assists for 44 points. Same team that Keaton Verhoeve was on, but Verhoeve got traded.
Mm-hmm.
So it was time then for Timofey to step in. Averaged 25 minutes a game, 320 average per game, 3 minutes and 20 seconds on the power play, 2 minutes on the penalty kill. Super skilled, and in the draft notes, They call him one of the most skilled defensemen in the WHL, with the potential of becoming a number four defenseman.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Just very skilled puck mover, variety of passes, can hurt you in different ways. Zero physical game, physical play to his game, and otherwise exceptionally skilled. He's a guy that, again, his resume is going to change again next season. He's committed to the NCAA, Miami University of Ohio, has a very good hockey program. That's where he is headed. I'm just going to add one more thing, because this will mean something to Canadiens fans. In the scouting reports, one of the scouts said, Runso reminds me of P.K. Subban in his style of play, talking about his skating stride, the way he plays on the power play, and also talked about his defensive flaws. But keep that in mind when you watch him.
All right. Then moving on to pick number 93, another defenseman. They went with Cooper Cleaves this time. He plays, he's an NCAA guy, played with Dartmouth last season in the ECAC. And he's another big kid.
6'3", 205, as you said, plays at Dartmouth. He described himself as a two-way kind of shutdown defenseman. It was his rookie year in the NCAA, had a good rookie year. Before that, he had split the season between the BCHL and the USHL. Pretty raw. He's 20 years old, so a draft plus two guy. So still, despite his age, a pretty raw player, but he was going into the draft. He was called a sleeper, and could be an interesting prospect to keep an eye at. Dartmouth, obviously, a very good program, and he'll get some good experience there.
Definitely.
We should mention that if he defend, and I expect he'll get to development camp this year. It won't be his first night time.
No.
He attended the Canadiens development camp last year. So he kind of had a little bit of a feeling that the Canadiens might show some interest in him this draft.
Definitely. And, you know, what better way to scout a potential draft pick than when he's at your own development camp?
He said that he last year he talked with Nick Bobrov at the end of Canadiens development camp, and that Nick said, just keep doing what you're doing and never know, we may see you again.
And there you have it. In case you didn't have enough defensemen, pick number 117 overall in the fourth round also was a defenseman. This, we mentioned that the Canadiens did not select a player under 6 feet. Well, if you can consider 6 foot
even
small, it's not small, but this is the shortest in stature player that the Canadiens selected. His name's Braden Klimke, plays in the WHL for Saskatoon.
And he's going to play one more season for Saskatoon. That will be his third season. Last year, he wore a letter. He was an alternate captain. 46 points in 68 games. After one more season with Saskatoon, then he'll be off to the University of North Dakota. Offensive defenseman, undersized, as you say. He's smart. He's a good skater. He's considered an elite defenseman in the WHL. And the likelihood is that he'll have the same sort of success in the NCAA once he gets there.
Canadians had no picks in round five of the draft, so we had to wait till the end of round six before we got their next two selections, back-to-back, pick 189 and pick 190. This pick 189 is their first left-winger selection of the draft. Parker Trottier played last year on the U.S. NTDP in the USHL on Team USA's U18 team. And so that's a left winger.
It's a high energy kind of guy. Mm-hmm. As the scouts say, he's got a good motor. He's an energy kind of player. He plays up and down. He plays direct. He plays fast. He goes after loose pucks. He forechecks. He hits. Tries to steal pucks on the back check. He's just lots of energy, great work ethic. And we'll see if, you know, maybe a fourth line checking role, if everything works out, well, in the NHL, is probably, you know, where his peak would be. But just really good work ethic. He is committed to University of Notre Dame, another good hockey program for the 2027-28 season.
Okay. The very next pick 190, also belongs to the Montreal Canadiens. This is where they took their tallest selection of the draft. This is a right winger this time, Wesley Royston. This past season playing for the Owen Sound Attack in the OHL.
He's described as one of the fastest players in the OHL. He has a great shot and just had a depth role this past season for Owen Sound. Split the season between Erie and Owen Sound. He's described... The engagement isn't always there, but when he's engaged, he's described as a hammer in the scouting notes. He hits, he starts scrums, he gets involved in post-whistle issues. He's a very physical player, although it's not consistent. There's just not consistent engagement, consistent effort. When he does... he's got flashes of meanness combined with flashes of skill. He's just the comparable for Royston is John Beecher, kind of player who would have a checking kind of role.
Right.
But he's got to make sure that his effort is consistent.
Now you mentioned he was one of the fastest skaters in the OHL. Keeping in mind, this was their tallest selection. He's 6'4".
Mm-hmm.
Could get bigger.
6'4", 190 at this point.
At this point. So keep an eye on that. And then, I mean, I almost want to say, should we be grateful that Kent Hughes traded? He would have picked 221, 223, and 224. At the last second, he traded away 223 to the LA Kings. 221 and then the final selection of the draft, 224. We'll start with 221. Took another D-man, so that's four defensemen in this year's draft for the Montreal Canadiens. Jean-Samuel Dagneau, who played in the USHL this season for Muskegon.
Next year, he's going to the OHL for Brantford. He's a Quebec-born player and 6'3", 190 pounds. And when you read the notes, calling Daniel physical might be an understatement. He hits hard and often. Takes every chance to crush opponents. Step into them, battle them, reverse hit them. He's called the meanest player in this draft class, one of the draft's most violent and aggressive players. Now, he only had a depth role this past season in the USHL. We'll see what his activity level is like with Brantford. He was getting like 13 minutes a game, and he was very inconsistent. He liked to hit. He liked to hurt. But there was not much else happening there.
Sense of theme. Is Arbor Jacki getting nervous after watching this draft?
Well, you almost think that the Canadians, you know, should value when they're going out and drafting all of this physicality and hate and intimidation, and that they should value the ones that they already have a little bit more. Yeah, it says he's so fun to watch, plays in your face brand of hockey, intense, fearless, physical. Physical is an understatement. He plays to hurt and hits ridiculously hard. So I imagine he's going to have a fan base who have been asking the Canadians to go out and draft this kind of thing.
Definitely. And with the very not only the last selection for the Canadians in this year's draft, the last selection in the draft, pick number 224, they went with another right winger. This one, Tyler Dikos, also from the USHL, who played for Waterloo this past season.
Waterloo in the Waterloo Blackhawks of the USHL actually split the season between Waterloo and the USHL and played in the Alberta Junior Hockey League for Drumheller. Next season, he's headed to the WHL with Penticton, 6'1", 175, and we'll see what happens there.
Definitely. So there you have it. That's what the Canadians did at the draft this year. No goaltenders.
Which is unusual because under the Kent Hughes regime, they have a pretty good stable of goaltenders as it is. But with so many with goaltenders being so popular this year, that it's odd that Vinny Riondo wasn't banging the table for another one.
Well, I was actually just going to say, particularly if, you know, we don't know yet if any of the speculation swirling around that Vinny Riondo might get scooped up.
That's right.
If this was your last draft with Vinny Riondo, I would think that you would have wanted to make sure you used every bit of his knowledge. And maybe they did. Maybe they were just like,
yeah, seventh round picks at one point.
Take a flyer on a goalie. A goalie. I don't know.
Or a seven-foot player.
Or a 7 foot one player. Okay. So our question for you this week, it's a two-parter. First, give us a grade. What grade would you give the Canadians' performance at this year's draft? A, B, C, D, E, F. What grade are you giving them and why? And the second part of it is, are you still hopeful that Kent Hughes will make a major trade this summer? Are you still hopeful that it'll happen? Do you think it'll happen? What do you think it might look like? Lots for you to ponder.
And just my own question, did you watch the draft? Did you watch it start to finish, round one, rounds
like
two
we
to
did.
Seven? Did you enjoy it? Do you want to go back to the old format? That's my own interest.
Okay, good to know. Be sure to send in your replies there's a number of ways you can do that. Send it to our Rocket Sports text line. That's a dedicated text line. You can text us 24/7. The number there is 5853-ROCKET. Again, 5853-ROCKET. You can also leave a comment. If you're listening on Spotify, you can leave a comment on this episode on Spotify. If you are watching over on our YouTube channel, which you can find at InsideTheCanadians.com, you can leave a comment on our YouTube channel on this episode. Or we mentioned at Habs Connection. That's the handle that you'll find us on X, on Facebook, or on Instagram. You can leave us a reply or a DM there as well. Lots of ways for you to get your answers in. Just make sure you do so that we have your thoughts to pick from to share for next week's show. And speaking of that, we're going to take our final break here on this week's show. And when we come back, we've got some great comments from last week's Canadians Connection Question of the Week to bring you. Maybe yours is in the list. Got to stick around to find out. Stay with us. You're listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio. The Stanley Cup may have been awarded to the Carolina Hurricanes, but that doesn't mean that the opportunity to bet on hockey and all of your favorite sports has ended. In fact, the DraftKings Sportsbook app is now available in all 50 states and includes all markets. So sweat every shift, every inning, every quarter, every minute of your favorite sport, all in one place with one app. Now, new DraftKings customers, sign up with code THPN, spend $5 to get $200 in rewards within 21 days. That's code THPN in partnership with DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Bet with DK Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 1-800-MY-RESET. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Connecticut, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas, that text pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21 and over. Void in Ontario. Event contract trading with DraftKings predictions involves risk of loss. Sportsbook bonus bets expire in 7 days. $50 in predictions dollars issued weekly for 3 weeks expire in 1 year. Redeem one non-withdrawable reward. Availability varies. Predictions offer void in New York. Ends June 28th. Terms at dkng.co/audio.
And welcome back to episode 406 of the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio. Don't forget, subscribe to the podcast. If you're liking the content, leave us a like, leave us a review, leave us a 5-star, whatever your platform will permit. And hey, if you'd like to let other Habs fans know that there's a podcast out there talking about the Habs all summer long, then hit that share button and share this episode on your favorite social media platforms. Don't forget, as we just mentioned before the break, get us your answers to this week's multiple question of the week, Canadians Connection question of the week. First off, give us a grade for the Canadians' performance at the 2026 NHL draft. What grade would you give them and why? Also, let us know if you're still hopeful that Kent Hughes is going to make a major trade this summer. And Rick wants to know if you even bothered watching the draft. And if you did you watch the whole thing? What'd you think of it? Do you want to go back to the centralized draft instead of the decentralized draft? We want all the thoughts on all the things this week. Now, last week we asked you if the Canadians were to trade their first round pick, who would be your trade target and which top prospect would you be willing to part with? And we had some very interesting responses to this. I think we're going to go to YouTube. Rick, I think you have one from YouTube.
From our dear friend at Habanations. He says, no trades. And congratulations, you win the prize. Habanations, there were no trades. Why did he say there was going to be no trades? Well, Habanations goes on to say, the window isn't open yet. The Habs have to draft their own players because nobody wants to play here. Sorry. Marty St. Louis is going to have to work with what he has and not overplay them. He has about a year or two to get that sorted. A trade would mean that they think that they're closer than they really are, trying to appease fans and the media instead of building a team to actually win a few of them, a few Stanley Cups, I guess, in a row. Trading away the future for a possible now that isn't going to happen would upset me. Rebuilds don't take 5 years. Sorry. Are they a top four team or a team still in rebuild? My opinion, a team still in rebuild. Sorry. That's coming from Habanations.
Okay. I like that comment. That's good. Also over on YouTube, at MoonObserverGilles5730 says, do not get your hopes too high, fans of the Montreal Canadiens. GMs Gorton and Hughes will do their best, but with the overpaying of players shows how out of control the NHL contracts are now. This could handcuff many teams who keep signing no movement clauses and long contracts. Something's going to give, and I see a lockout because this is getting ridiculous. The fans are paying the bills of overpaying players that do not have such value. Panic also makes bad decisions. When will this stop? When fans stop buying tickets to see their team just because they can't pay those big contracts anymore? Only the more financially strong fans will be going to hockey games. This sport is losing the name of a team game.
Wow. That's a strong opinion. I like it. We welcome strong opinions.
Yeah.
That is definitely a strong opinion. Another strong opinion, and we go to X for this one. This wasn't sent to us. This was just posted Friday morning, the morning of the draft at 6:30 a.m. So prior to round one of the draft, this is what David Ettinger, and who's David Ettinger? Mm-hmm. He's a player agent, a hockey player agent, and he's been remarkably
accurate.
He's just very observant. He's very objective, and presents these things in a rather non-emotional sort of way. And this is what David said the morning of the first round of the draft. My analysis of the Habs situation and transactions with 12 hours to go until the draft. Please read to the end. Perfect. So now brace yourself for a, we tried everything, but it didn't work out. Well, that's true. Mm-hmm. A seller doesn't get a commission when he doesn't close the sale. He doesn't say, I came close, pay me anyway. The Habs were saying at the trade deadline that deals like this get done in the summer, and it's the summer, and they're still not getting it done. It reminds me of Marc Bergevin, who failed to land a true center for 10 years, and he burned the price era. The difference is that Hugo has everything he needs to make this trade, but isn't pulling it off. Last year's success really isn't guaranteed. That is, they're not guaranteed to make the playoffs. They're not guaranteed to go to the Eastern Conference Final. We've said that. With a clear improvement of the Panthers, as of this morning, the Habs sit behind the Panthers, Buffalo, and Tampa. With Washington and Carolina being rock solid on the other side, that leaves just three playoff spots in the East among all the other teams. Not easy. You live and die by your decisions. Gorton in New York never managed to add the toughness needed to push the Rangers forward and paid the price for it. And just added some toughness in this draft.
Well, yeah.
I hope that this 2C saga in Montreal doesn't end up being a carbon copy of his New York adventure. And oh, by the way, forget McTavish, Matthew Nyes, Robertson, Heischer, Thomas, Beniers, Marchenko. They're not landing in Montreal. Aside from Pettersson, who could bounce back as a top 2C, we're now in Plan B territory. The Lees, the Trocheks, the Marchments. Guys who can help you make the playoffs but won't take you to the cup. I could be dead wrong, but to me, we're heading towards a missed summer for the Habs. Yes, it's been good, and it's paid off so far to stick to the rebuild, but at some point you have to realize it's time to pay up and take the team to the next level, and I think that's where the Habs are stuck. Right now, there's no 2C in the pipeline, and Hage isn't a sure thing to become a 2C in the NHL at this point. In my view, he just has as much chance, if not more, of ending up as a winger. Sure, that's the effort is commendable, but the decision makers will be judged on results. Sometimes you have to go big or go home. Once again, I hope I'm dead wrong. We'll have the answer to all of this soon enough. Fascinating. And he got the torch out for this one. Mm-hmm. And as I said, all of that was written prior to round one of the draft.
Well, I can't say that he's far off on a lot of that.
I guess that's what we want to hear from Habs fans.
Yeah.
Do you feel like he does? Do you feel differently? Has he made some good points? Do you disagree? Are you thrilled with how Kent Hughes and Jeff Gorton, what they accomplished this past weekend? We definitely want to hear from you.
Definitely. It's going to be a busy week this week. We know that there are some big trades looming overhead. Where they're going to land, everyone's going to be refreshing their social media feeds every 5 minutes for the next few days. Canada Day on Wednesday, July 1st, obviously, as every year, also coincides with Free Agent Frenzy, which might not be so much of a frenzy this year, but we'll see. You know, there could be some things that happen on that day. But happy Canada Day to all of our listeners in Canada, and enjoy your Canada Day, whether you're watching Free Agency or not. And to all of Habs fans in the U.S., happy Independence Day next Saturday, July 4th, where I and my fellow Americans will be celebrating 250 years of being a nation, which is pretty fun. It also happens to be the same day that our next episode of the Canadians Connection podcast will be out. Next Saturday, July 4th. So don't go on summer vacation yet. Or if you do, take us with you. If you need something to listen to while you're at the cottage, while you're at the lake, while you're at the beach, whatever you're doing. Because there's going to be a lot happening this coming week. And we're going to bring you all of it and the analysis of it next week on the show. Thanks so much for being with us. Hope you enjoyed the draft. Can't wait to hear what you have to say about it. And we'll see you next time on the Canadians Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio.
Click subscribe so you never miss an episode of Canadians Connection. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Rocket Sports.